We're in a new year, and someone was telling me that they say, "New year, new me." New year is usually the time where we have our New Year's resolutions and we make decisions about what we want the next year to look like. We make goals to say, well, this year I hope this will be accomplished or this will be accomplished. And I think after the last 3 years of pandemic and uncertainty and all that stuff, people I think are more eager than ever to want to shake off that and have some new goals and do something different. But what are your 2023 goals a reflection of? Now, when I think of goals, I guess I struggle sometimes because I just like the present usually. Thinking far into the future and what do I want can often be difficult, especially when we're told, oh, you can have whatever you want. The world is your oyster. Do we work out our goals based on our desires? I like to spend time at the beach, so will I have my goal to spend time at the beach this year? Do we work out our goals on who we think we are? We say, well, I'm a person who is a father, so I'm going to work on being a better father this year. Or do we work our goals sometimes on who our neighbours are? We look next door and see that neighbour has a really nice, they've done a renovation on their house, they have a really nice car, and so maybe our goal will be more to be more like our neighbour this year. As we think about shaking off the pandemic and looking at what we can be next, will your goals save you when another pandemic hits or something like it comes around? How long are your goals? We have been spending January in worship in the Psalms. We have learned that the Psalms are not just a collection of the Jews' Greatest Hits, Volume 3, but they're a collection of hymns that are shaped to tell us something about how we approach God. They have a shape to them and they tell us a story. We started out looking at Psalms 1 and 2, which are an introduction to the book. They tell us how to read the book and that God's chosen King is at the heart of its message. We learned that if you dwell in God's word and let them change you, you'll be a happy person. You'll be like a tree planted by a stream that bears fruit and flourishes. If you follow the path of the wicked, however, you'll be like dried grass blown about by the wind. You'll be happy if you take refuge in God's King. We then looked at a psalm of praise and then last week a psalm of lament. We saw that we can worship God for who he is and praise him for the way he made this world. We also saw that when things don't seem to make sense, when we're struggling, we cannot help but cry out, "How long, O Lord, must I keep struggling?" We can also come to God and express our pain and make a decision to praise again. Now, over January, we have looked at 5 psalms out of 150. So that's just about 3% of them. Just want us to have a taste as we head into 2023. Today we'll be looking at one of the last psalms in the book, which is also a psalm of praise, but it's a little bit different. The book of Psalms ends with 5 psalms of praise, and those psalms all begin and end with the Hebrew word hallelujah. The word hallelujah means praise Yahweh, or it's often translated as praise the Lord in most translations. So at the end of the book, there's this building crescendo of praise. We've had ups and downs, wisdom, prophecies about kings, retellings of great acts of God, the things that he has done. The Psalms is also known as the place where the writers express their struggle and lament and deal with their suffering. And the end is this undoubtedly robust expression of trust in who God is and what he's going to do. I shared a couple of weeks ago that I've often struggled at times to praise because I don't always feel like I know the point of it. However, I've seen that when I praise, I take all the things that I know about God, all the reasons that I want to pray, and I say them or I sing them. I give the reasons that I think that God is the one who can answer my prayers, that God is the one who I follow, and I pray, and when I do that, I humble myself before him And I find that I orient myself and my prayers towards trusting in him. I remind myself of my place and where the power in this world is. I think part of my struggle is that I grew up in an era of worship music where people were rediscovering the experience of worship. And so they were creating a lot of emotion and emotional experiences. And in doing that, they seemed to jettison some of the complex theology for moody piano instead. I was also someone who was probably led more by my thoughts rather than my emotions. So there was this sense in which some of it felt fake to me. And if it wasn't fake, it was at least capable of being deceptive. So around the same time, I was watching this TV show called Boston Legal, which is a legal drama and comedy. And when you're watching it, you can tell which court case, who's going to win the court case, because during their closing arguments, the one that is going to win will have this strong emotional music played over the top of their closing arguments. So I knew that that music can manipulate your emotions, and so I was naturally sceptical of it a little bit. Now, I think good worship is both smart and emotional and genuine. Now, this leads us to today's psalm, which starts out this crescendo of praise at the end of the book. It places our understanding of how we orient our lives and how we can understand what ideals we value and where we can put our trust. He starts out resolved to praise God with his life. It starts out, hallelujah, or translated to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, we probably have the wrong idea of the word that's translated as soul. We think about the soul as this kind of disembodied spirit that lives inside us, our true self apart from our physical body. Now, that is what the Greeks thought about the soul. It's not what the Jews thought. They know that God created us with spirit and body, and it was good. So the word that they use is nephesh, which means your whole being, your whole life. So when I think about the phrase, praise the Lord, O my soul, I think about an out-of-body experience where my inner person praises God. I think nice thoughts, and it's very inwardly focused. A very inwardly focused experience. But nephesh means more like my whole body, my whole being, everything that is me, my life. Everything that I am as a physical and spiritual being, praise the Lord. He then unpacks that by saying that he will praise the Lord as long as he lives. He will sing praises to his God while he exists. So he praises God with his life as well as his songs. If you would ask me to praise the Lord with my soul, I'd probably assume that you meant singing. But here is a declaration of praise, not just his songs, but his entire being and his life. Now, being someone who doesn't always seem to get much out of singing, as some people do, praising the Lord with my life and singing songs all my life doesn't always sound like an exciting prospect. Sometimes people talk about heaven and say, what heaven will be like is it will be just a really long church service and we'll sing praises all day long. And I like singing at church, and that's nice, but I like singing at church on a Sunday. Singing it all my life sounds a little bit much. Well, here, praising God with your whole being means living as if God is the king of the universe. It means putting your trust in that. It means directing your life towards that truth. Living as if what you do matters to God. Living as if what is important is what God says. That's more important than what you think or what you say. Now, I think that it's one of those things that can sound like I can say that I do that, but it's usually a bit trickier than that. It's so much easier for us to put our trust in other things without realizing it. We often put our trust in the things that God gives us to achieve our goal and maybe miss God along the way. We start to worship the things which make us happy and not the Creator who gives them to us. So the psalm then unpacks what this means. In verse 3, it warns us not to put our trust in princes. It's interesting that Roland had that in his communion today. Now, I think that we have all probably, speaking of princes, we've probably all had enough about hearing about Prince Harry and Meghan. And I suspect there isn't anyone here who puts their trust in them. Although I saw that Meghan has a podcast that is there to help you see the ways that people label you and hold you back in your life. If her words and experience ring true to you, you may be tempted to put your trust in that princess. Now, when the psalm was written, princes ruled, and they were usually govern the fortunes that you had in your life. Your fortunes were usually tied to your ruler and your country. They would conquer enemies and keep you safe. So if you had success, it was usually up to them. It's not so much that way these days, although we wish our leaders would do something about inflation and make sure that they keep Russia and China away from us. But now we have often put our trust in self-help ideologies, like the things that Princess Meghan is talking about. Now, I've not listened to her podcast, so I cannot give you a review. I just know that if I put my trust in people like this and self-help gurus, their plans and their help is only going to last until they die or I die. Then all their plans are undone and my plans will be foiled also. There is no salvation in humans. Putting your trust in the experts of this world is only temporary. There are lots of people around to tell you what you need to have a good life, or who you need to be, or which labels that people place on you you need to reject, or what is it that you need to have a fulfilling life. But all of those people will die, and whatever their plans were will go with them. William the Conqueror was a famous conqueror of King of England. He conquered England, changing the course of that country in 1066. From there, he ended up setting his sights on conquering parts of France. And he did pretty good. He was well on his way to getting it done. He was on the verge of triumph and taking over France, or at least the parts he wanted of France, when he fell off his horse and was badly injured. He was taken to a nearby abbey where he died. As soon as he died, all his nobles who were supposedly fighting with him, they fled to secure all their own possessions. His servants stripped him of all his expensive armour and clothing and jewellery, and they ran off and left him naked on the floor of the abbey. All of his plans were brought to nothing once he died. Now today, we put our trust in things that offer us some kind of comfort or pleasure, whether that be a self-help philosophy or a get-rich method. It may even be your favourite preacher that you're tempted to put your trust in. All of the good gifts that these things sell to you should point you to the one who created, the one who saves beyond death, the God who is worthy of your praise with your whole being. Plans that will leave you safely in his care, not naked on the slab of an abbey with all your wealth stripped away. So the psalm continues with, "Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them." That word happy there is the same word for happy used in Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Happy is the person who delights in God's teaching. Happy is the person who takes refuge in God's King. And now happy is the person who receives help from the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God. When people try to sell you their books, the way that they do it is often they list all of their achievements. They say that this is the author of this other book, or this is how many books this person has sold, or this person ran this company with this success, or this is a person who has fast cars and smokes cigars because they're so successful. If you listen to them, you can be as cool and successful as they are. And they often have a nice, simple five-step process for you. Now, the list of God's achievements, God's self-help success, the reason that you should praise him with your being and life is in verses 6 and 7. He made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. Now, that is a good start in terms of accomplishments. But it continues. He keeps faith forever. He executes justice for the oppressed, and he gives food to the hungry. So apart from being the creator, he is also faithful and loyal forever. And he is the source of justice, and he's also the provider. Now, these last two are perhaps the two greatest areas that make us want to put our trust in someone or something: the ability to provide for us and the ability to bring justice. We want someone to make sure that we have what we need, and we want someone to make sure that the things that hurt us have been dealt with. Those who hurt us are condemned, and from a quick look at Princess Meghan's podcast, it looks like she's focused on calling out the injustices in your life and helping you move on from them. She probably doesn't offer financial advice, although marrying a prince would probably do wonders for your bank account. We usually want to put our trust in people or princes that offer us provision or justice. And while there is nothing wrong with taking their advice or even following them into battle if the situation calls for it, our real praise and trust should be in the God who created the world, the true source of justice and provision. Now, the next part tells us all the things that God does. The name of God, Yahweh, is used 5 times in the next section, and it lists a bunch of things that God does. God sets the prisoners free. God opens the eyes of the blind. God lifts up those who are bowed down. God loves the righteous. God watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. God fixes injustices and he takes care of the vulnerable. Now, there is a sense in which this is the sort of thing that our princes try to do. This is the stuff that we expect our government to do. I was watching the news this week, and it seems, though, that it was filled with instances where they were not doing this. There was the Australia Day protests where the Indigenous peoples of this country were crying out against the injustices done to them, often by our duly elected princes. We saw our Prime Minister head to Alice Springs where they were not upholding law and order. I saw the lady in charge of the Department of Child Protection Services step down after there were accusations of them not doing their job right. We live in a world where people offer us lots of things that they cannot deliver. But God, the maker of heaven and earth, will bring true justice and provision. I think about the promise of food to the hungry, and I think about Jesus feeding 5,000 people in the wilderness. I think about opening the eyes of the blind, and I think about Jesus healing the blind man. I think about setting prisoners free, and I think about the apostles being led out of prison by earthquakes, led by the power of the Holy Spirit. God knows that we cannot praise and put our trust in earthly princes. So he sent us his King Jesus. Jesus pointed the way to all those things happening. He led the perfect life, and then he laid down that life so that we can be saved. Not just from enemy invaders, but from death itself. Jesus laid down his life, and he did not end up just naked on the floor of an abbey like William the Conqueror. But God raised him to life. Death was not the end to Jesus' plans, but the beginning. So when we look at the options for what it is that we can put our trust in, when we see what it is that we want to praise with our lives, will it be the things and ideals that end when our pulse does? Or will we put our trust in the God who created all? The God who brings justice and provision. The God who rights the wrongs of the world. Who raised Jesus from the dead. The psalm finishes with, God will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Then it finishes with a hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So as we start 2023 and it's time for new things, new attempts at making your life better, new things to trust in, new advice to follow, and maybe different experts to trust, I challenge you to make your core motivation to be to praise God with your whole being. If that is your goal, go ahead and make more money this year. Work on your fitness, your relationship goals, and family plans, but shape your life so that you are praising your Creator. The end game of all the self-help advice ends with you naked on a slab after your life has ended. If you shape your life in praise, then you know that the one who is capable of saving will bring true justice and provision for all eternity. I read recently about this guy who did this. His name was Eligius. He was a guy who was a very good goldsmith in about the 600s AD. He was very well liked by the king, and he became one of his advisors. But Eligius, being in such a privileged position, had incredible wealth showered upon him by the king. So his clothes were covered in gold weaving and jewels. And when Eligius went on a trip, however, he'd go somewhere, and if he saw someone who was poor, he would pluck a jewel off his clothing and give it to them, or strip off some of the gold and give it to another poor person. He is known for using his wealth to free many slaves at the time. He would leave on a trip covered in all the finery of the kingdom, and he would return in what looked like a sack with a rope as a belt. Then the king would dress him up again, and he would do it again next time. He was a guy who praised God with his whole being. His story is more detailed than that, but he's an example of how he used what he had for the praise of his Creator. The core to praising with your whole being is asking yourself what it is that motivates you. If it is praise for your Creator, then your career goals will reflect his love and justice, and you will accomplish it without crushing others. If you praise your Creator, then you'll use your wealth to make the world a better place. If you praise your Creator with your life, then you'll walk in your relationships with the story of his grace, his justice, and his love in the front of your mind. On another note, I often find that I can get through difficult things more and more easily if I think of them as an act of praise. If I'm doing the dishes for what feels like an ungrateful family, I turn it into an act of praise, and then I'm a hero serving God by loving my family regardless of what I think they think I'm doing. If I'm stuck behind some turkey in traffic, I make the decision that I'm not a victim of their incompetence, but I'm showing the love and grace of my Creator. Then I can calm down a bit. If you turn your motivation and your actions into acts of praise of who God is, then you're not a victim of circumstances, but you're making a deliberate choice to love and forgive and worship with what you're doing. So as you face 2023, turn your actions, thoughts, and motivations into little and big cries of hallelujah. Praise the God who is really trustworthy. The God who brings true justice and provision in the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we cannot trust princes, but we can trust you. Thank you that you are the God who created this world, and you are the one who brings true justice and provision. I pray, Lord, as we look upon this new year and what we might accomplish, I pray, Lord, that we can praise you with our beings. We can focus on making little moments small hallelujahs and big moments bigger hallelujahs. I pray that we can praise you with our very beings. We can also praise you with singing as well. I pray, Lord, that we'll be able to praise you with our lives and show others who you are too, the place of true justice, the place where we can live and be truly saved. I pray, Lord, that we can show others who you are too. In Jesus' name, for your glory. Amen.